Talmud Yamana, and I ought to do at least Asher Bara today as well, so at least we'll get... You'll see, they're all, everything's interconnected. That's part of the issue. So we'll see what we can do. Okay. Just a quick comment, and that is as follows. The Ellie brought to my attention... Are you here, Ellie? Ellie? Here?
No? He'll be here.
He'll be here. Okay, so he brought to my attention just an interesting lashon in the both in Tosas Ria Zaken and in Kiddushin Daf Yud Amud Beis, and also in the just you know the language of the Ramah when the Ramah talks about chuppah, and then it occurred to me that the same pattern is true for the Rambam. So I just wanted to share that idea quickly, and that is the combination which seems to be contradictory, or at least dialectical. Between pirsum and what I would call pratius, privacy, in chuppah. And just to highlight it in the Rambam, just hit me also. Meaning, in light of what we're discussing, the Rambam in Mor Nebuchadnezzar, however, again, I prefer my explanation. I think it works much better with the Rambam's broader sheet than Yad HaChazaka. And again, I don't have any problem with you know, the consistency of the way that he formulates it there. But certainly, one of the things that emerges from the Rambam's emphasis in Mor Nebuchadnezzar, as we discussed, was this idea of pirsum. And we talked about the implications for bracha, and that's consistent too. Fine. But what I wanted to add was that let's not forget that we spent quite a bit of time defining the Rambam's shita, rishita of chuppah, as developed in Hilchos Ishus, which is chuppah hainu yichud. And not only that, but in Perek Aleph, I'm sorry, Perek Yud, Hilchos, I always say Perek Aleph because that's the beginning of Hilchos Nisuin, as we know. But Perek Yud, Hilchos Ishus, Halacha Aleph, which is Perek Aleph, Hilchos Chuppa, Halacha Aleph, in the Rambam, so the Rambam, when he describes what Chuppa and Nisuin is, he speaks about, he has a triple formulation, as we all remember, right, which was Knisa Lebeso, right? Yichud and Yafrishena lo, and that was very important. Whether those are three ingredients or three ways to accomplish one, you know, overriding point. The point is that for the Rambam, Chuppah Haruia Lebia, and that formulation Yafrishena Miyachadena Mechnisa Lebeso, is certainly establishing unequivocally that the Hagdara of Chuppah is the Yichud. It's the private part. And again, this is, you know, going back to the Sefer Mitzvos, livol, you know, b'kiddushin, you know, in both senses, right? To become the Baal, but also, as we discussed, bias mitzvah, you know, given the proper framework and preparation. So, on the one hand, you know, there's this component of pirsum, and that's certainly, you know, part of the brachos and so on. On the other hand, there's, you know, Enlecha, Davar Tzanua, you know, and Prati, Yosef Mizeh. So I think that's totally not a contradiction at all, just a very fascinating, you know, integration. Meaning, it has to be a Dua Umafursam, this new stage of marriage, which, as we say, is a Davar Demimela, and, you know, which is preceded by, you know, the preparations, in, as in any Dover Shabbat Kedusha, but in this particular case, of the framework of Kinyan and even Oser, which leads to the Dover Shabbat Kedusha becoming a Matir, you know, B'yichud, U'B'pratius, U'B'tznius, all of that has to be that stage that you've crossed, in other words, into that part that has to be before some, because that's part of the de facto-ness of the Davar Demimela of Chuppah. So that's why it's that combination. And what Ellie pointed out to me was that just the language of Tosas Ria Zaken, I don't have it in front of me, in Kiddushin Daf Yud Amud Beis, he was just pointing out the language of Pirsum. He was trying to suggest to me that there are a whole bunch of other references to you know, to this idea that you know, there might be a Tzibor component, the issue that we've been building, you know, to the Nisuin and to the Ishus. So he was just telling me that the language of Tosas Ria Zaken on Daf Yud Amud Beis in Kedushin, somebody has it and can quote it, that'll be good. Speaks also about the Tzibor, you know, knowing, you know, and, you know, being present, you know, during the Chuppah. So then when he told me that, I said, oh, Do you mean the Tosis Riazakein that we quoted earlier in the year, which is the only Rishon who explicitly, you know, weighs in on the question and decides that you need Edim for Chuppah? Right? And then we looked it up, and that's exactly the one. So what's fascinating is, anybody have language? On the one hand, he speaks about the, you know, the Tzibor all being there, and then he speaks about the need for Edei Kiyum for the Yichud. So it's a, you have it?
Yeah.
Go ahead. You're on the base.
Yeah. Chuppah ish and miyachin shneim b'fnei rabim b'vayda ha-dovadam b'idim roen ha-yichud.
Yeah, so it's miyachadim lifnei rabim, right? And then you need the Edei Kiyum for the real private part, which is the Yichud.
Yeah.
So that's just a very interesting... He was trying to emphasize the first point, and he has, like, you know, some other interesting, you know, ha'aros about the Tzibor component, which we'll be building up also, but he has some other ones. But the fact is that it's the integration of those two things which is really very fascinating, and that's really what you find in the Rambam. So he also pointed out to me that that's the language of the Ramah. The Ramah, when he defines chuppah, we talked about this again earlier in the year, the Ramah mentions a whole bunch of different ways to accomplish chuppah. Ah, okay, we're quoting you.
Okay.
Hopefully accurately. So the do you have language of the Ramah with you? Do you happen to?
Who?
Ramah?
You
know, the Ashkenazic decisor?
He didn't write in Yiddish, so he doesn't.
Right. So the Ramah, when he talks about standing under the... Do you remember the language?
No.
When he talks about, what is it, Simon... was it Nun? Yeah, Simon Nun Hey, is the you know, Sifaleth. Yeshom dechupa einu yichud ale kol abi kol shehivia chasa lebesa l'shem nesuin the Ran yeshom shachupa he sheporsin sudar al rosha b'shas habracha, right, the shulte gibarim tosrit shulte gibarim yeshom dechupa spesula mishiyatza behinuma v'almanu mishin siyaktu based on Yerushalmi quoted by Tosis and Yuma v'aminaga pashut achshav likros kupa mokom she machnisim yiria Prusa al gabe kunsos, umachnisin tachteha hechasan vakala barabim, right? Umekadeshes sham, umavarchen sham, birchas eirusin vinisuin, yakakach malichim asan lebesim, beochlin biyachad bimokom tsanua, vizeachupa hanoheges achsha. Okay, so again, this is part of that same pattern that we're pointing out in the Rambam when you combine the Mora and Yad HaChazaka, and in the Tosis Riazakein. And in the Ramah, namely that you have the Rabim and the Pirsum, the people are all, the Rabim are witnessing, in other words, the transition to the Protius and the Tznius of the de facto life of Ish v'Ishto. But it's important because it's the de facto thing that they recognize that, and maybe also because they're part of that, maybe the Kiyum of the Tzibor. Yeah.
And also kind of
yeah, so that, and that's kind of what the Ramah is talking about here, right? Achakach malichim al son lebeisim ba'ochlim biyachad b'makom tzanua. Right, and that again, that might be the same idea. So again, whether this is because of the tzibur component per se, or because it has to be demonstrative and yodua because of the de facto-ness, personally, I think it could be both. But that pattern, you know, which seems surprising, but at second glance seems very appropriate. Is something to look at. The other thing is, Itamar showed me the language of the Machzor Vitri in the Kamoi. I don't know if we got a chance to look it up in the Machzor Vitri, but it does mention also Birchas Erusin there, so we have to figure that out. And I was just also thinking that, you know, this also relates to another issue in the, you know, Minhago Shel Olam, like there seem to be two almost traditions about how a you know, chasan and kala, you know, what their pose should be under the chuppah. you know, there are the people who see this as a zman tefillah, like there, you know, became in recent times this whole approach of saying Tehillim and, you know, being mispalel for other people and cholim and so on and so forth. Personally, I think you have to be careful about that, because certainly the ikar kiyum is simchas chasan v'kala. So if a person can do both of those things without detracting from the ikar, then, you know, I think that's one issue. But just I was thinking in light of that formulation, that this is a kind of a tefillah, you know, that I guess takes on or assumes some greater significance. But again, the inclusion of Birchas Arison has to be assessed in terms of whether it doesn't bring down, you know, the sum of this, or whether it doesn't just upgrade or you know, transmute a little bit how we look at also at Birchas Arison. It's much easier to see Birchas Chatsanim than Birchas Arison as a tefillah. Right? Did you get a chance to look it up in the Machzor Vitri? Why is that? Well, given the token of the brachos, I think it's, you know, perfectly clear. I mean, Birchas Chatsanim are Birchas Shevach and other, they relate to a whole slew of themes, etc. The bracha of Arison is a complex bracha, and there's some elements of Shevach V'Hodah, but it's very specific to the Isra Rayos and the Isra, it's not a tefillah, right? You could see Sameach to Samach and Sos Tassis and, you know, some of the Yotzer HaAdams as tefillos, and especially the fact that they're, you know, less obviously connected with the business, you know, and the technique or the definition. It's much more subtle, of a subtle connection. It's about broader motifs. It's much easier to see that as those as tefillos than it is to see Birchas Arison as tefillos. Again, it's a complex Birchas HaMitzvah, but it's still very much focused on the halachic parameters of Arison. There's no, you know, tefillah component per se. Maybe you have to reassess that if you include this here. But definitely.
Don't they want to say that I'm a Kaddish?
Say that again?
Don't they want to say that if you're Mekadish below Bracha, your Chisar is Erisav Shehimitzvah?
Your Chisar?
Chisar is Erisav Bracha Shehimitzvah.
Good. And like therefore, that doesn't make it a tefillah.
Well, it sounds like there's some interest.
I would say that that's because, as we've said in the past, according to the Rashu Di'imei, because it's Bircha Shavach Bahodah, and therefore it's an important theme, but that doesn't yet make it a tefillah, in my opinion. It's not a tefillah. It's Divrei Shevach, but I think according to the Rambam, the real point is that you've missed describing and defining, you know, what makes this mitzvah unique and singular, and what you should be focusing on in the mitzvah. I don't think that makes it a tefillah per se. Anyways, these are things to think about. The last thing we discussed, which we want to continue to discuss, is almon v'almana. So again, I gave the background of Machzor Grishoso, which needs more discussion. But the idea that Machzor Grishoso may be a different kind of an ishus is a perspective, and that might affect also Birchas Arison and even Birchas Anisuin, and maybe other things as well, not only Ein Marv and Simcha B'Simcha, which could just be chalked up to a lower level of Simcha itself. I don't think you could say that by Almon V'Almana, as we discussed, because we're dealing with a new Ishus. Again, what I began with, which is the Havamina, that Almon V'Almana don't require any kind of bracha, and that, you know, seemingly is inconsistent with Birchas HaMitzvah or Matir, because there is a mitzvah, there's need for a Matir, there's probably need to define, you know, to be Magdir, you know, what's going on here. Again, it would seem that the Havamina is just about Shevach and Simcha and so on. I stick with that. That you can't say in Almon V'Almana as much as you might say in Machzor Grishoso. There's no different chalos ishus, and it's certainly not lacking those other components, which you could argue Machzor Grishoso is, both on Birchas Arison and Birchas Nisuin level, although you might be mechalik again between Birchas Arison and Suin for the same reasons that we've been talking about. The need for tenin bin chasanim is greater, right? The, as we just said now, the tefillah component is greater. That there's seven, that it continues, you don't do that in Arison, and so on and so forth. Fine. But what I think you could say for Almon V'Almana is that it's a different chalos chuppah. And that is also recognition that the challenges of this particular ishus are different. And that means it's a different chalos, albeit not, on the same level or intensity as Maaseh Grushasa. So I think that, one way to look at that, one way to define that is what we said. If the token of the brachos or the number of the brachos are different, if the, takanas is a different takana than a regular ishus, depending on how you read the Yerushalmi, etc. If the chiyuv or if the iser malacha is different, which it sounds a little bit like that in the Meiri. That's one method. Another method is to take a certain approach to the sugya of almon v'almana regarding its impact on simcha and bracha. And here I think generally, as we said, that we could take one of two broadly speaking approaches. One is that what drives these halachos, and there are a lot of details, we're not going to do all of them because I want to make sure I get an asher bara today, but the some of the issues of configuration and so on, I think that there can be two perspectives. One is that it's about the individual mechayvim, and when we try to figure out almon v'almana, almon, right, ubesula, bachor v'almana, right, we would try to figure out all these configurations and we end up with different results, right? We need to pin down the shitos and then try to figure out what's going on. Unfortunately or fortunately, there can be overlapping reasons for things and sometimes complex reasons, which makes it hard to identify fully. I'll give a couple of examples of it without being exhaustive. So what you might say is, these configurations change because not everything, depends on the couple and therefore the kind of chuppah that they're having or the challenges that they have to encounter, or the opportunities that they have, to explore in their adventure of ishus. But rather, maybe certain things depend on the chasan, and certain things depend on the kala. In which case, this becomes a great opportunity to try to figure that out. What's a din in the chasan, and what's a din in the kala? That's one big approach. Now, even within that, as we'll see in a moment, it can get complicated. Because one would have thought, and the chatchil is how you should start off, default, that if that's true, so let's just, isolate the factors, and then we'll be able to identify what's going on. In other words, Bachor and Almon and Besula and Almana, just to figure out who's triggering brachos, who's triggering simcha, who's triggering how many days of brachos and how many days of simcha, end of story. The problem is that it can get a little complicated, as we'll demonstrate in a minute, because sometimes, especially when you're trying to gauge either simcha or in some cases incentive, let's say, or necessary incentive in the process, things that are kind of coming to one of the parties, so it's not just the status of the mechayiv that matters. Maybe it is the dynamic or the interaction, between the parties. Okay. That, of course, is Hushita, Isaac? I'm saying it very abstractly. We're going to get concrete in a moment. But what am I trying to, account for here? Hushita?
Say it again.
I say, when you're trying to identify who the Mechayev is, let's say, the Chasson or the Kaal. So, default, you would think it would be very simple. You just have to figure out, the configuration. Bachor, Almon, Psula, Almana, and then you figure out what, you make a chart, you use some process of elimination, and you're good to go. The problem is, there can be two problems. One is, if you have more than one mechayev, okay, if more than one person can be mechayev, maybe either party is mechayev, and in some things, maybe you need both parties, right? But especially either, that's one. Or it can really get complicated if either on the level of the actual nechayiv, or things that are, let's say, a result of you know, what you have to provide, you know, for some of the parties, you know, that it's not just dependent on their status, but it also depends on the dynamic interaction between the people. Shmuel?
When Rashi, he believes that even if the Alma, if she's a Besuva, so because it's not him, but because he's going to be happy that she's a Besuva.
Oh, okay. Not so much the Rajba, but it's, I don't think the Rad. That doesn't come up from the Rajba, from the Rad, but the Rad. Right. In other words, let's say you have. We'll see this inside in just a second, right? Let's say you have. You're trying to figure out the, you know, the joy level, right? The intensity of joy, you know, of the chasam. Right, so what I'm saying before is, so that depends. I mean, is he a first-time marriage, or anybody who's a first-time marriage? The assumption usually is very excited, and it's a certain dimension. Again, we don't mean this in terms of the individual cases. Obviously, this is low plug. I mean, we're talking objectifying. So what we're saying is, oh, any bachor and any basula is going to have a higher, intense level of simcha. Right. What the Ran introduced, which we'll get to in a second, is the idea that, well, I mean, there's another way to look at things, you know. And that is that when an Almon marries a Besula, right, so there's a particular, you know, added dimension of joy for him, right, in that, you know, she's a Besula, and he's an Almon. I mean, look how, you know, it's his second marriage, and yet he... You know, he's able to marry somebody who's never had any, you know, anything to compare, or any, you know, unfortunate experiences, or maybe too good experiences, etc. So then, instead of saying, oh, but he's an Almon, how can you compare him to a Bachar? But he's an Almon who, you know, who got the prize, he got a Besula. Right. Or vice versa. Like, she's an Almana, right? So, you know, how do we look at it? You know, what's her level of, you know, of joy? It doesn't depend on the status of the individual and their level of experience. It's a first time or a second time and so on. Or, as I say, does this depend on the dynamic, who's marrying who? That also figures into the issue, right? That complicates things. Yeah.
Now, just going back for a second. I don't have it with me, but I think one of the golden things to have, you know, that saying that Namana wouldn't be on here.
What do you mean Amana would need a matir of what?
Of
your testimony. Well, no, we paskin that way, because I was just trying to explain before how there could be a havamin on the Gemara that Amana doesn't require anything. La halacha, we say that she for sure requires at least, you know, one day of bracha and 3 days of simcha.
Right, so we're saying that the havamin can't be that Amana wouldn't need a matir. Right, only that does the chata.
Correct, because there's still an Iser Baal Ishto, right? No, there is a day in the Gaonim that says that 7 days, I'm not sure it's what you're referring to, one of the ones I wanted you to look at, is that 7 days of Bracha can never apply to an Almana. That's only a Din of Besula. But that you need some Matir, La Halacha. I'm just saying, what was the Havamina? And it was a double Havamina in the Gemara. And what happened in the Maskana when we said no? Do we say, oh, the Havamina was right that this is all about Simcha and Shevach, but there is some of that here, minimum amount, etc.? Or is the Gemara saying, you'd be right if this was Shevach and Simcha. But you're wrong, because there is a din of Matir, and therefore, as long as there's no Heter, there's an Isra Arus Arusa in Almana, just as much as there is in Besula. That's clear. Okay, anyways.
But it could be the Havamina in that the Gavra.
Are you talking about the Havamina of the Gemara now?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me talk about that also. Good.
But then the point is that once, if she's not Mala, she had Berchas Chassan earlier.
No, she had Berchas Chassan of another Chassan.
Right, it could be that the Havamina is that the...
No.
That when she's not Mala, she's
not
Bracha.
Not if we're talking about Kalabla Bracha Sur Labala Kanida to this husband. I mean, her previous...
The woman who didn't have Berchas Chassan is also Labala Kanida Bulatila.
Okay. To her, to this new husband.
Because Hassanim works as a tefillah, whereas Matya the Gavra, regardless of the
think it's. I don't think it's sayable. Right. I mean, there's an Isra Aris Larusa, Asalanu is Arusa. So I mean, you can't. You need a matir for this particular relationship. It's not. There's no din that once somebody had Birchas Chasanim in their lifetime, that somehow that changes their status with respect to being muteres to someone else. I mean, she's an Eish HaSish. She had a heter only to that to husband. I do not think is sayable. Right? No. So let me say something else, though. Let's just say something else. I don't know if this is part of what you're trying to say, but this is on my list to say, which is, it's fascinating in the Gemara regarding getting back to Mechayvim for the moment, that on the one hand, the Gemara starts off and discusses the language of the Gemara is what? Besula Teuna Bracha. Right? Rab Chelba, Rab Huna, Rab Abba, Achas Besula, Achas Almana, Teuna Bracha. So if you just took that from a literary point of view and isolated it, the impression you would get would be that the... We already talked about the language of Teuna, right? That might be a language of Matir and so on, but that it's Noveya from the Isha. If you look at the Shita Mekubetzes on page, what is it? 70... If somebody could get it. 74, column 1, in the name of Balei Tosis, they have the Tosis and then they continue. So they ask, how come... The Gemara speaks about, you know, the Isha, and, you know, Almana and Besula. Why doesn't it speak about Bachor and Alman? Right? But, I would say, what's the counterweight for that is, what do we call these brachos? What do we call the brachos? Birchas Chasanim. Right? So that, I think, is an interesting question. If you're asking the question, you know, it could be that one is a shir in the marriage, right? And one is whose chi of bracha is it? You know, it might be the chasan. But the teuna is defined by the nesuin. So gufa, the question which I'm raising, which is, are these issues that have to do with the zivug, or are they related specifically to the chasan, to the kala, or maybe to each? Right? So, gufa, I don't know the answer. I mean, I know that there are some rishonim who take positions on it. That's why I want to identify just in a minute. I think that there are those who will tell you it's always a din in the zibug. There are those who will tell you it's always a din in the individual. Possibly there are two dinim. Possibly the zibug dictates the chiyuv of the individual, right? And that might be teuna, right, which is relating to her, right? But birchas chasan. Okay, but getting back to the bigger picture for a moment, just give me 30 more seconds. So let me, because I just want to make some headway. So on the bigger question, let's say like this. The perspective that everything focuses on the zivug, and that it's a chalos, this chuppah, this kind, not a different ishus. I don't want to go that far. It's not a different chalos ishus. But it's an ishus with different challenges and therefore different emphasis, and therefore that's reflected in the chuppah and in the brachos. That could be reflected either by the Rishonim, and again, I'm speculating and it's not mukhrach at all. But there are two groups of Rishonim here in formulating things. One is the ones who say that, who speak about the zivug and speak about tzad bachrus or tzad almanus being koveh. Anybody who uses that lashon, I would default suspect, again, what you might say to dismiss it is, we're saving a little bit of ink. Instead of saying, if there's either a bachor or a besula, or instead of saying, you know, only if it's an almon and almana, we speak about tzad bachrus or tzad almanus, etc. I know that. But I think default, when you speak that language, what it sounds like you mean is, right, there's a, you know, there's an alman and the almana merit. And here I think it doesn't matter where you draw the line, although that's a machlokas. Now Rishonim will say that, you know, the unusual treatment requires that both of them, you know, be in a second marriage. And there are other Rishonim who will say, no, unusual treatment is dictated by either of them being in a second marriage. I think that's an interesting argument, right? But I would, you know, take the view that if you're talking about tzad bachrus or not tzad, even, or no tzad bachrus, right, you're still talking about the zivug. And you're talking about the yisod that we're speaking about before, this being a different kind of a chuppah. If you speak about, you know, the individuals, the chasan, the kala, either, then it sounds like what you're saying is that in principle, the mechayiv, right, is that individual, and not the group. Okay. So having said that, let me just document it a little bit very quickly, and then I'll take you to Mara's question. We'll see in a moment, for example, that the Ran and the Ritva, at least initially, seem to speak about, you know, the Chasan and the Kala, and to try to figure out which of them is the Mechayev, or which of them is the Mechayev of what, at least. On the other hand, right, Tosas here, on Zayin Amud Beis, Tosas wants to explain what happens Balmana shanasa lebachor. Right? So you have an almana, bachor shanasa almana. The question is, why is there, since it's an almana, right, why is there shiva lebrachos? But the Gemara seems to say that there is, right? Gemara says, Zion lebrachos, Gimel lesimcha. And by the way, the questions that we're raising now, you could be mechalek between simcha and bracha. And by that I mean in several different ways. A, whether it depends on the zivug or an individual. B, right, whether, which individual it depends on. That's part of what we have to figure out. Okay. So Tosis is trying to explain the question, why when you have almana shenisis lebachor, right, why is that bracha kol shiva? After all, it's also bracha kol shiva when it's almon shanasa besula. That's perfectly clear too in the Gemara. So obviously what bothered the Balei Tosfos, again I'm reconstructing, is mimanav shach. Does bracha depend on the baal? Does bracha depend on the kala? And we'll see in a moment that the Ritva and the Ran have their own answer to this question. But Tosis' answer is, you're looking at this the wrong way. It's not a din in chasan, it's not a din in kala, it's not a din in both, or either. It's a din in the zivug. Meaning, kivin she'en shneim amonim yesh levarek kol shiva. The only time that you have a change, at least regarding bracha, in the configuration, is when you have a chalos second marriage, or a pure second marriage. But when you don't have a pure second marriage, right, then you always have zayin brachos. It's not who is the mechayiv, it's the nature of the zivug. That's how I would interpret. Similarly, if you take the Meiri, right, the Meiri has three shitas here. The first and third are quite fascinating. The second is the Rimigash. We'll get to, hopefully. What is the Rimigash? What's the Rimigash's discussion? Adam? Almon Shanasa Besula should have 7 days of Simcha. Correct. Even though that's not clear in the Gemara at all. We don't know that case. Correct?
Yeah.
Now, why that is? Why?
The Ran brings this culture came into our better understanding. Because we see that Bachar Shanasa Besula has 7 days of Simcha from the Gemara by Avel,
Yeah, so we'll get to the round in a minute. We'll see that that's Lashitaso. But the question is that really the Pshat in the Rimigash? Right? Hard to know. Hard to know. We can interpret the Rimigash in many different ways. But that's an important Shita that we don't know in the Gemara, and that he's assuming Zion L'Simcha. You could say, oh, either Chasen or Kala trigger Zion Yimei Simcha. You could say that. Or you could say numerous things. Okay. The Ran we'll get to back to in a second how he interprets. Oh, so the Meiri discusses the following scenario. First day of the Meiri. Meiri discusses. Anybody have a language? I have it here, but I just don't want to. Okay, the first day of the Meiri is. I'll just tell you what it is, and then you can read it. As long as there's Tzad Bachrus anywhere in the marriage, it's Zion and Zion. That's the first day that he quotes. Now that's against the Gemara. It's against the Gemara. So the Miri says, Shinuya Dechika. When the Gemara said otherwise, meaning what's the case? Bachur Shanasa Almana. What does our Gemara say? Zion and Gimel. So it means that the Gimel, meaning the Almana, is Koveya with regard to the days. So the Meiri says, no. Anybody have language? First day.
You have Ketzad Huadin, Kol Shiresh Bo Tzad Bachros, Hain Mishnei Tznadin, Yon Bachor Bibisula, Hain Mitzad Echad, Yon Almon Bibisula, O Bachor Bi'almana, Merachin Berchas Chasanim, Kol Sheva.
Yeah. Zion and Zion. And Simcha. Yeah. And with the Gemara, Shinuya Dechika. Right? No?
Yeah, Umash Amr Besigazo, skip a little bit. Shiva Labrachel Shoshal Simcha, Shinuya Dechika, he, the Fain, Kasvua Chachme Achronim Shosparach.
Yeah. Okay, so you're going against the Gemara, so that shows a certain level of conviction. But, so even Bachur Shanasa Almana has Zion and Zion. Why? The formulation? So to me, I think what this shita means is the only way to justify a change in the Zion Zion, right, is Almon the Alman. It's a din in the Zivug. Similarly, the second shita he quotes is the Rimigash, right? Meaning if you have Bachor, Shanasa, Almana, the Chiddush of the Rimigash is that you get Zion of Simcha, not clear at all, especially if you hold that the Simcha is determined by the Almana. Right? So then why does Bachur Shanas Almana have Zion with Simcha? Right? That's the second sheet that he quotes or not?
Yeah.
What?
That sounds like
that's a third shita.
That's the second shita.
That's the second shita?
Yeah. The third one is Shakol Sheit Sad Almanus Im Sad Bachar Shival Brachos Shal Shal Simcha. That's the third one.
Oh, okay. Good, good. So again, what's the second one? Maybe I got it wrong. What's the second one again?
Bisula Lebachar Bain La Almon. Bisula, whether or not Lebachar or La Almon, is Shival Simcha and Lebracha. But Bachur
le'almana, Shival Brachos, what's the Chiddush there? That, one second. Bachur le'almana. That's the Gemara.
Yeah.
That's Zion and Gimel.
Yes.
Bachur le'almana, Zion and Gimel, right? Bachur le'almana, Zion and Gimel.
Bachur le'almana is Zion and Gimel. That's the Gemara, assuming that the
Gemara. What about. So what does he say about Almon and Besula? In that case.
In that case?
Yeah.
Almon lemesula shiva lesimcha ulbracha. No.
Yeah.
Shalosh doesn't. No. Shalosh. Bachur ba'almana, almon le.
Almon lemesula. Do you have that there?
Yeah. Almon lemesula shiva lesimcha ulbracha.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So that's the Rimigash.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The third shita, that's exactly it. The third shita is what? Kol sheyesh tzad almonus.
Yeah.
And tzad bachros, even almon ubesula, that's the one against the rimigash, is Zion and Gimel.
Yeah, that's the new one.
That's the new one. That's the third sheet. Correct? One more time, read it. Okay, that's against the Rimigash. Now, you could have said, because, you know, Almana is always Koveya against the Rimigash. Almana is always Koveya for the Simcha. End of story. Right? Correct?
Yeah.
But the way he's formulating it, it sounds like, again, if my diuk is correct, what he's really saying is that it's a din in the type of marriage that it is. Meaning, unless it's almon v'almana, I'm sorry, the other way, as long as it's not bachor and besula, you're always going to get Zion and Gimel. It doesn't matter who. Right? Because here, again, here is the case where you have bachor and almana. But instead of saying, oh, because it always depends on the almana, almana's never going to get more than Gimel, that's not what he says. He just says, as long as you have anything that's Almon and Basula too, right? It's Zion and Gimel.
Yeah. Sorry.
So this is a great example. So number one and number three, even though which are both Chidushim in the Meiri, both seem to be predicated on defining the Zivug, albeit in opposite ways, in a way. Okay? Now, I said there's also a day in the Gaonim that Almana always gets only Achas Lebracha, because Brachos Harbe are Nitkina only Lebesula. Okay, now that's a little bit different, Shita. That it may mimic some of these other issues, but that seems to be saying everything depend. Brachos always depend. It's against the Gemara, but that's is what they're trying to suggest. It always depends on the Isha. Teuna bracha is being taken literally there. Okay, Rabbeinu Manoach, I should just add, in his Perush on the Rambam, formulates initially like Tosas, to explain why it is that Bachor and Almana is Zion Lebracha, except that he adds a very important line, and that is, he says, after all, it's like the din that Ola Imo Ve'eni Yoredes Imo. So that's very interesting. Is that his way of saying that that's a din in the collective Zivug, Ishus, and that you always, when you're defining, when you're putting a circle around this Kasa and Kala and their marriage or standard of living, it always goes by the higher one? Or is he just saying that, you know, the Mechayiv always is that individual, but he just can't pull that individual down? Right? He has the language of Tosis, but by adding, that depends on that Sugi in general, which is, we touched upon it, if you remember, in the beginning of the year, we talked about Mizonos. Right, that's a big question in general. How do we understand the nature of Ola Imo Ve'ena Yoredes Imo? Is that because of her Mechayev, or does that redefine the Zivug? Now, while I'm at it, let me just finish the Shitas, and then I still have to get back to you. You know, ask now. Go ahead, Tamar. Birchas Chasanim. And in general, you mean?
And on the person, not on the couple.
Not on the?
Not on the couple. It's Menayin Shafil Almanah to the bracha.
I know, that's what I was saying before. If you look at the Gemara, it sounds like Almanah to Una Bracha. But we call them Birchas Chasanim. So doesn't that imply that they belong to the Chasan?
Not really.
Not necessarily, but what the point is that it, to the extent that, to, in other words, one definitely focuses on her and one focuses on him. You could say, well, that proves that neither of them, or both of them, or either one, or either one defines the Zivug. I'm just saying, in a way, that's what the Shita Mekubetzes asks on 75 Kalan. That's what he's saying. He say, how come the Gemara says Besula to Una Bracha, and we talk about Lo Batsra, Le'achas, etc.? Why don't you say Almon? Yeah, anybody have a line in the Shita Mekubetzes? when he talks, when he quotes Tosas. Yeah, but Shlomo, go ahead. Yeah. That's our Tosas. Oh, so this is again, this is a very strong formulation of this idea that it's a din of the zivug, right? Go ahead. The individuals don't change because of who they marry. Meaning it's a din of the zivug. Very good formulation. Keep going. Yeah. Then he has a quest, then he points out part of his analysis that the language, right? Yeah. Anyways, so the point is, when you add to that the fact that we call this Birchas Chasanim, what's your diyuk in Masechet Kala beyond the fact that we call it Birchas Chasanim?
Well, no. When they ask the question for Almana, the question is Minayin Shafilu Almana Tuna Bracha.
So that's our Gemara.
Our Gemara is not awesome. Our Gemara always wants to know about the combination.
No, our Gemara says, isn't that how our whole Gemara goes?
Our Gemara begins with the assumption that Achas Almana Ba'achas
Besula, and then the Gemara says, and Almana has a bracha? But their whole focus is on the Almana, no? Then the Gemara says here, the Almana Shinas Almana Lo? Va'am Rav Huna Almana Eina Tuna Bracha? That's a continued focus here too. I mean, the whole Shaka Vitaria here is focused on her. But I'm just saying, it's called Birchas Chasanim, and kind of that's what the Shita Mekubetzis is raising.
The answer is saying that it depends on the combination.
No, that depends on what we're saying now. That's the different Rishonim. So again, now let's talk about the other Rishonim.
Yeah. Our whole discussion is always circulated around Isha.
How so, more than what we're showing in the Gemara?
I mean,
you're trying to figure out, it depends how you understand the Maskan of our Gemara,
right?
Doesn't it? Which is the Machlokas Rishonim that we're talking about.
Well, the Gemara here qualifies the initial Havanina as referring to the combination of an Almanah.
Right, but is that because of the combination, or is that because of one? So that's exactly what we're debating now. We don't know what the Maskan is.
The question that if that Havanina exists even in the Bavli, that the Brachos are just going to be about the Isha, the individual.
That's what the Havamina of the Bavli was.
Why couldn't it be that once a woman had Birchas Chasan, that she wouldn't need them a second time in her life?
No, that's ridiculous. That we said before?
Yeah.
No, because what does her previous relationship have to do with her heter to this? The Isher...
The Brachos are about the status of the Isha, not about her
relationship. The status of the Isha vis-a-vis this relationship, not in the world.
What's the indication of that?
Pure logic and halacha. I mean, this is all about v'asar lanu es harusos. The isra oris harusos is no different for an almon and almana than it is for a bachar and a besula. Right? I mean, kalab labracha sur labala kanida is definitely a din in the isha. So it's not a din in the chetza shal isha. So she was made a bracha over at one point. I mean, her dead husband or her divorced husband. I mean, what does that got to do with anything? That I don't think that is. Nitan Lehomer. I mean, I'm pretty liberal, open-minded guy, but that I think that's way beyond. It's not the whole issue is in the context of Isha. That's the whole point. This is a Baal Keishto, Baal V'Isha Heter issue.
I can even concede that point and say it's a generic Baal V'Isha issue, but it's not not particular to each bottle that she has.
It is. It has to be. It's about the relationship. That's what every chuppah is about, that particular relationship. And in particular, what we're saying is that, especially if it's a din in the zivug, it's about the type of relationship that it is. But it's also about the particular ish v'isha, that's who we're celebrating. So that I don't see. But let's look now for the moment. So we have a number of Rishonim who definitely take the view that it's tzad bachrus, tzad almanus. Again, some of them go opposite way. By the way, some Rishonim will say that you need tzad bachrus is enough for brachos, and tzad almanus is enough to downgrade simcha. Right, that's also an interesting issue. Right. It could be that even if they're both din of zivugim, but they're different mechayvim, they're different ideas. Okay. Where's the idea that it comes to individual people, and who is that? So I think that's particularly reflected in the Ritva and the Ra. So let's talk about that just for a minute, and then I want to talk about Asher Bar. Okay, so let's finish this quickly. So getting back to that. So what bothered both the Ritva and the Ran clearly was Avi.
Who's the mechayev of which part? Who's mechayev the simcha and who's mechayev the bracha?
Yeah, the script, because if you say the simple reading, they start off with the assumption of the Gemara and a few other Rishonim as well, that when we say when we figure out the configurations of brachos and simcha, so it sounds like, you know, we're saying that there's a different mechayev for simcha and for bracha. And if there's a different b'chayiv, again, I was suggesting a moment ago there might be a different b'chayiv, but it might have to do with looking at the zivug, pure almon b'almona, diluted almon b'almona. Fine. Before we even get to that, let's talk about the Rajbo just for a minute. As we know, when the Gemara gives two answers, right? Gemara says almon b'almona, and then almon. I'm sorry, and then bachor and almona. So we know there's a basic machlokas harishonim. What's the basic machlokas? Shmuel?
Do they argue with each other?
Do they argue with each other? Now, most of the rishonim think they don't argue. And then there's some rishonim who think that they do argue. The Rajba likes that lahalacha. Why does the Rajba like that lahalacha? Because he says, I just can't conceive of what? Shmuel? I can't conceive that you're going to make all these brachos and then you're going to go off to business. Right? And then he says, but you'll ask me from Hashah Simcha, this is also very important, you'll ask me from Hashah Simcha Bimono, which you could be doing for sure all, he's assuming, all week, and according to anybody, and maybe even all month, and maybe even all year. Right? Shmuel, so what do you say about that? And what about Hashah Simcha Bimono? Yeah, so we'll have to get back to that. He says that as the Rav used to say, don't ask me such kashas, right? Or as Eli would say, frekmanisht the kashas. Correct? But he's taking a stand on Shasimcha Bimona. Obviously somebody said that to the Rajba. Right? Obviously somebody thought that Shasimcha B'mono was a proof that this is all wrong, because they thought Shasimcha B'mono was a Birchas Chasanim. So we need to get back to that. Keep that on our list. It's on our list. Okay. But the bigger idea of the Rajba raises an interesting question, and that is, how comfortable are we saying that Simcha and Bracha are two different dinim, two different mechayvim? So there are some, you can see from a lot of the unorthodox shitos, even though we've already just discussed, right, the first day in the Meiri, some of the Gaonim, some of them are going against the Gemara. Rabbeinu Yerucham says you never split up brachos and simcha. We don't hold that way. There's one mechayev. So one approach would be, but these are the radical, more radical views, one. Actually, they're identical. Forget the Gemaras that split them up. right? Almon ve'almana is aleph and gimel. Bachor and almana is zayin and gimel. Right? No. Everything is the same. No two dinim. Okay, that makes things much easier, much less exciting, too. Assuming for the moment that you can at least split them in one direction, which is the conclusion of the Rashba, and those people who think of the Zemachlokas, so they think you can have more simcha than bracha, but you can never have more bracha than simcha. I don't mean that in, I mean this in this very specific context. I'm not talking about in life. Right? Right? So, we wish everybody should have lots of bracha and lots of simcha. Amen. But basically the Rashba says you can't have more bracha than simcha. So does the Rashba mean because the bracha and the simcha are, it's true, they're not identical like Rabbeinu Yerucham and those, but they're on a continuum. It's a quantitative hierarchy. It's an intensive, it's all one b'chayiv. It's just the intensity of the simcha. Is that the pshat? In which case, what we're saying is you can have more bracha than simcha, you can have more simcha than bracha, but bracha and simcha are just levels of simcha, basically. Or is the pshat in the Rashba, udi'imei, well, you know, these are two mechayvim, right? But it's just inconsistent, right, to make brachos when you're going off to work. Part of making brachos, even though it is a different mechayev than simcha, but it doesn't abide, right, a yom avoda. If it's not, you know, a yom tov di David ida, that's a precondition for the brachos, even if they are different mechayevim. That I'm not sure about. That's an interesting question. You have to look at the Lashonos of Rishonim when they reject this idea of having more bracha than simcha. Is it because of the internal, you know, problem that raises for bracha per se, or is it because it's just, you know, lo yitachein in the common denominator of it all, intensity of simcha? Okay, fine. But let's leave that aside for the moment. Now let's talk about the main. That's within that view that there's a machlokas. So basically, I have three perspectives. There are the people who work very hard to align bracha and simcha completely, even against the Gemara. There are the Rashba type people who argue that there's a machlokes and that you have this interesting limit of brachos by simcha, and there are two ways to understand that. And then there's the majority view, which is that brachos, that, you know, both formulations in the Gemara are correct, and therefore they go in different directions. Now, if they go in different directions, right, so we need to understand what's going on there. So the easiest thing to say is different mechayvim, and not more or less, not quantitative, different. It becomes even more important, although it's important for the Rashba too, to identify what is included in simcha and what is included in bracha. Number one, right? What are we talking about? What is simcha? What is bracha? Okay, make sure I get back to that. But it's important for everybody to know what that is. But especially if we're dealing with different mechayvim, it's pretty important that it ends up overlapping into other issues too. Okay, but then you have to contend with the problem. So what's going on here if it's different mechayvim? If it's different gavras, then we have some inconsistency, regarding the bracha. That's bishlama, the simcha. It's easier to say, you know what, simcha depends only on almana, on the isha. And it's easy to say that for two reasons. Number one, because it got introduced on daf hey omid aleph, with shak, excellent, that's what I wanted to say. With shaktu, meaning it sounds like it's a takana for the almana, right? So it sounds like it's for her. Moreover, it just works with the configurations, because you have 1 and 3, and then you have 7 and 3, the 3 is a constant, so it's the almana. The only thing that you're going to have to contend with then is what are you going to say in a situation of the rimigash? What are you going to say in Bachor, Shanasa, Almana? We have Almon, El Almana. We have Bachor and Almana. Right? Both of those are Gimel Simcha. But we don't know what happens in a case of Bachor. And I'm sorry, we don't know what happens in a case of Besula, sorry, and Almon. Right? So what are you going to say then? If you still say Gimel, then you obviously it's got to be a din in the Zivug or in Shnehem or what are the other things that we said before? That's the Meiri, the day in the Meiri. Right? The third day in the Meiri. If you hold like the Rimigash, there are a number of things you could say. The Rimigash says, you could say it depends on the woman always, and she's a Basula. Right? Or you could say that it depends on the... There are a lot of things you could say. Fine. But the bracha part is even more difficult. Because there, we know for a fact, there's no... It's not a Rimigash, and it's not subject to debate. We know for a fact that either Bachur or Basula triggers Zion. That's clear. So how can that be? So here you have two interesting approaches in Rishonim. One is the Ritva. So what does the Ritva say? Yeah, here? The Ritva's bothered by this. What's his conclusion? What does he say? What? Adam? Either one of them. Right? Or based on both. Both meaning either. Meaning it's not in the Zivug. It's not Tzad Bachros. He's not saying that. That's what Tosa says. That's Rabbeinu Manoach. That's the other things we saw. He says, Irochanami, it's triggered by one, but either one. Very important shita, the Ritva. Either one. Okay. As opposed to Simcha, maybe, or maybe not. Maybe that's also either one. We'll see. Fine. The Ran, right, digs in his heels a little bit more, and then says something, you know, quite fascinating, which we alluded to before. Right. The Ran basically is bothered by the same thing. Does somebody have the language of the Ran? Isaac Abbott?
Yeah.
I guess just read the piece very quickly. The question and the answer. No? He's bothered by this question. The assumption is that it's not a din in the Zivug. He starts off by saying, oh, so this is the huge chiddush of the Ran says, not either one for bracha. Who's kovei the bracha, Isaac?
He is.
The chassan's kovei the bracha. The almana, the isha is kovei the simcha. Two completely different mechayim. How do you navigate the evidence? So the answer is, again, what the Ritva didn't like is, what the Ritva was saying is, well, if it depends on an individual, or more than one individual, it depends on the status of that individual, an isolation. Meaning, what level are they? Is this their first marriage or their second marriage? Right? What the Ran did, which is an amazing thing, it's just fascinating. You know, because he thought that the Bachor is the only one who's Koveya, you know, for that, and the Isha is the only one who's Koveya for the other, and yet you have to navigate mixed evidence. You have to navigate mixed evidence in the Bracha and the Gemara. You have to navigate mixed evidence in the, even perhaps in the Simcha if you hold like the Rimigash. Because Rimigash is saying that a Bachor triggers Zayin Yimei Simcha. How could that be if it depends on the Isha? Right? So what's the answer? The answer is it doesn't depend on the status only, their objective status. It depends on a combination of their objective status and the prize of based on the status of the spouse. You know, so if she or he are robbing the cradle, I don't mean that literally. Okay. Meaning if it's a you know, if despite the fact that it's their second experience, they're getting somebody who has the excitement of the first experience, then that intensifies the level of simcha. That's what the Ran says, right? Now he also has to say something. What are you going to say about the almana, about the simcha? So here he says something quite remarkable too. Because you would have thought that simcha means simcha, and it's judged by the objective, again, intense level of the feeling, and therefore that's koveya. The Ran has a little added chiddush here, Isaac. That what? The kol shekein is going to work because of this. But before we get to the kol shekein, what does he say about simcha? That's quite remarkable. No. Simcha is takanta dida, but then you get into trouble, right? In other words, on the bracha part, he's saying, "Oh, robbing the cradle." You know, if your spouse is a first timer, so that's your added simcha too. Great, wonderful. That explains everything depends on him. But when he marries, when he's an almon and he marries a basula, it's still going to be Zion the bracha. Fine. But now you want to explain on the other side. If all, everything depends on the almana, right? So in terms of simcha, so why is it Gimel Yamim even when it's Almon Shanasa Besula? Oh, so he came up with this amazing idea that the Yimei Simcha, instead of being an expression just of Simcha, are a kind of a payoff. I don't mean it to sound that way, but, or we'll call it this way, an inducement or an incentive. Right, almost like, you know, she's thinking of doing this marriage, but she's having some cold feet because there are some objective, issues here. Does she really want to marry, this guy? So, you know, she's going to go along with it. Part of the payoff, part of the inducement is her gimel, yimei, simcha, right? Correct? Other Rishonim don't say that. They don't have to say it because they don't have this problem. They're working with the Zibug, they're working with the Shnehem. So that's where he gets his, what is the kol shekein you were referring to before? First of all, it's his explanation of the Rimigash, number one. Mm-hmm. Meaning, because, why do you get Zayin Yimei Simcha? Charlie?
I was just wondering, is Rebbe seeing this more as like or more as like if she's happy, she'll like naturally be more interested?
I hope so. He talks about a pitui. Right. So that's why I don't want to call it a bribe, so I've already cleaned up a little bit and called it an incentive and an inducement. Okay, right. But you want to clean it up even more.
Yeah.
I agree with you. So. I like it. Right. I'm just telling you the language, though, is a little striking. But the point is that it's something she has to be brought along and understand that this is all worth it for her. This is like, you know, part of what's going to get her, that's what you're saying, right? Part of to acclimate her and get her into the, for her to appreciate fully the, you know, the prospects of all of this, this has got to be part of the picture, right? I way prefer to see it that way.
A happy marriage is a good marriage.
What?
Say a happy marriage is a good marriage.
Absolutely, exactly. 100%. You know, and you know, the voice of experience. 100%. What's that? It doesn't sound that way, does it? Say again? I don't think it sounds that way at all in the Ran. Does it? No, it sounds like, you know, she's going to be more interested in going along with this.
She wouldn't want to marry an almond unless she has four extra days to celebrate.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Ellie and I are working hard to idealize this, and I think we're on the right track. I'm with you, but that's really what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like the pitui has anything to do with the mice. It doesn't sound like the pitui has anything to do with the mice be. In the rock. Anyways, so that's his explanation of the Rimigash, and that's his explanation of the kol shekein. But it's a fascinating shita. Now, the idea that the dynamic between the spouses, especially on the bracha level, could be part of the simcha, is really, I think, a very creative notion and a very inspirational one also. But I say, with Ellie and my help, I mean, we're going to turn this inducement thing into something nicer, too. But either way, the idea that for the Ran, put it this way, that Simcha and Bracha are very different, right? Even once we've idealized it, that one reflects Simcha, and the other is part of the strategy, let's say, of generating, you know, an appreciation for the marriage and Simcha, is something that emerges from here. Yeah.
The Ran advocates that Simcha is good for Malacha. Are we sure that everybody else agrees with that?
So let's talk about that for another minute also before we, and then we'll turn our attention to Asher Bara. You know what? Is everybody going to be here tomorrow? Yeah? So maybe just, since I know you have class today, so maybe we'll start at 11 tomorrow? Okay? We'll start at 11 tomorrow so we can at least finish Asher Bara. Right? And then, you know, maybe we can sing it in the end. and then we'll speak about Psachim.
Tomorrow's Sunday. Can't sing on Sunday. We have to sing on Thursday. and today is Thursday.
So does that mean we should be singing today?
Or if someone gets married, then we can sing it.
Right.
We could.
Ellie?
Yeah.
Okay. As long as we don't have to induce the kala.
No, the kala should be for Ellie.
Yeah. Okay, so so let's talk about that for a minute, because David raises a good point. What is, now that we've talked about whether they're all the same, it's a din in the marriage, but even if it's a din in the marriage, right, some Rishonim are the opinion that tzad, you know, any tzad bachros will get you Zion bracha, but any tzad almanus will eliminate Zion of simcha. Right? So again, that could just be quantitative. You know, do you need both or either? But certainly, for sure, according to the Ritva and especially the Ran, the idea of Tumachayvim really emerges. And again, other Rishonim who are going against the Gemara were so fighting that. And even some of the ones like the Raja might have been saying it's as quantitative. So we have a full range of views. But it becomes particularly important to know what Simcha is and what Bracha is, right? So at minimum, Simcha has to be something related to Malacha. How do we know that? Shmuel? From Shaktu. Right, David? Right? From the Sugya Daf Hei Omid Aleph. Oh. The question is it primarily Malacha, Shaktu? Or is it also Shaktu? So if you remember, in the Sugya Daf Hei, which we did when we did that base, actually, right, our Shaktu, both of Besula and Almana, we talked about early on. So there is a machlokas on Rishonim whether or not, you know, the din of Shaktu and Malacha is the din or reflects the din. And therefore getting married on Yom Chamishi for an Almana reflects this existing Isur Malacha. Or whether the Isur Malacha is just a mechanism and a method to protect the Simcha Daraisa. But it isn't really about Isur Malacha. That's how intrinsic is Isur Malacha to this. That's question number one. But the Rambam certainly also quotes Isur Malacha and the Isur Lisa Velita, and there's also an interesting question. So what is this Isur Malacha about? Right? On the one hand, it's tempting to think that, you know, since it's a Yom Tov Di David Ida, so there's a kind of an Isur Malacha. On the other hand, there's certainly no Kedusha Sayom. It's not that kind of Isur Malacha. No one said you can't... It's not Lavates Malachos, and there's no Kiddush, right? Although there is, you know, Yayin in the context of the Shavu Brachos. But it's a tricky kind of thing. Does it depend on the extent of Yontav Di David Ida? Right? For example, the discussion that we had in Chasen Avel, you know, about Devarim Shebetzina and the relationship to Yom Tov. And is it more like Shabbos or more like Yom Tov? What are the limits? The even Chol HaMoed has an Isur Malacha, as we know. Right? The Yerushalmi However, explains, very interesting, Yerushalmi, Mai Katan, Yerushalmi says, you know, they created an Isra Malacha in Chalamoed, or there is an Isra Malacha in Chalamoed, so the person should be focusing on spiritual matters. You know, but if people, when they have, you know, Chalamoed, and they don't go to Malacha, they just, you know, do frivolous things, then it would be probably better to put back the Isra Malacha. And that's the Yerushalmi. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, there's a kind of a model question here. What is a Sisa Malacha? You could say that it's nothing to do with Yontif Nidei Dida, nothing to do with focusing. It's a din of Tirdas Chasan Vekala. Part of this discussion also is, what is the relationship between Isra Malacha, you know, on Shivas Mea Mishte and Shivas Mea Velus, right? Part of that larger parallel opposite. There's an interesting discussion in the Pisrei Tshuva in Ebenu Ezer and in Yoredeya. During Shivas Mea Velus, there's an Isra Malacha. Can you have somebody doing Malacha on your behalf? Can you have a Shliach running your business? Or are you supposed to close down your business? That's an interesting question. And then there's a discussion, if that's the case in Avel, that you're supposed to close down your business, and not just that you can't actively be involved, but business should not be done in your name, is that true also for Chasan B'Shivas Mea Mishta? So some of the poskim say, no, these are two different things. It's an interesting issue. Right, what you might explain is that, again, Avelus, the lack of Malacha is also about moving forward, you know, progressing in life. You're supposed to, it's a bubble, you're supposed to stop and be paralyzed, right? And anything having to do with, you know, physical and commercial and material, you know, advancement is so contradictory when you're in an existential crisis. That part of it, that component doesn't exist in Shivas Mea Mishta. You're in the middle of planning for your future. Again, the distraction and the idea that you should be focusing on spiritual things, like in Chol HaMoed, makes sense. The idea that, oh, in your name, you know, there should be no advancement of your material well-being, you know, Latovas, you know, only Mo Velin, Eino Yeredesimo, probably doesn't make so much sense. I think I mentioned, the, you know, there's a tshuva of the Radvaz, where he talks about, you know, Noki Yelebeso. This is part of the Tzibur idea. So again, you're Potter, you're Orche Muhammad, you don't even have to be part of the Oref. You don't even have to be Misapek Mizonos for that year. So the question is, and can he go on a business trip? So the Radvaz says, sure. Especially if the wife says, you know, go make some money, Bill, or Bob. But, you know, he can. So, like, how can that be? How can he doesn't have to help feed the troops, but he can go on a business trip? That seems pretty selfish, right? So again, I think the answer is that, part of the answer is he's potter from feeding the troops because he's already engaged, you know, and he's osik, you know, his tzorchei tzibur requirements are being done by his marriage. That's part of the tzibur idea. Right? It doesn't mean that he can't go on a business trip. Two different dinim. But anyways, in addition to that, there's an interesting question here, meaning, part of what the Radvaz is discussing also is, what, that's crass and material? I mean, he's working towards their future. Right. So there's a difference between Avelus and Chasana and Chuppah. And what the parameters of Isra Malacha are exactly, you know, need to be defined better. And whether it's connected to Yom Tov Didei V'Dida or just the distraction of the focus of Simchas Chasan Vekala is certainly part of the issue here. The question is there something more than Lisa Velitain and Leches La'avoda? So the Rambam says, as we know, and a lot of the most Mefarshim picked up on it as well, that in addition to that, there is also Se'uda, Mishta. That's not so obvious, because one might have thought, especially for the Rambam, that Mishta would go with Bracha, especially for the Rambam, that Bracha is in Hilchos Brachos Perek Bet. That's why it's so fascinating, despite the fact that the Rambam includes Mishta in Simcha, he still has that demarcation between Hilchos Ishus and Hilchos Brachos. Anyways, Rashi apparently disagrees. Which Rashi? I didn't give this specifically in this context. Shmuel? Ah, I gave it away.
I'm assuming on Daf Hey.
See? You pick up on the clues. Right? Rashi and Daf Hey. Rashi and Daf Hey, when he explains Shaktu, right, says that Suda belongs to Bracha. You have it? Jonathan?
Looking for it. Can't find it.
Hey, Amid Aleph.
Hey, I'm there.
Dibur Maskul, Lamachar Mashkim Lum Nasa V'Holech.
Even underlined.
Go ahead.
She'en Mishta Almon Ba'almana El Yom Echad. Kila Kamanu Perik.
Oh, so Mishta... Does it say that in the Gemara? That Ein Mishta Chasen Almon V'Almana El Yom Echad? You underlined it?
Yeah.
I did too. Oh, okay. So look at that. See? Right here. Yeah. So it's striking because the Gemara doesn't say that at all. The Gemara just says Achas Lebracha and Gimel Simcha. And according to the Rambam, Perek Yud. Do you read the Rambam, somebody? Halachi Beis? Just to make sure. Tavia? Okay, we're going to stop in a minute. We'll do Asher Bara tomorrow. You got it there?
So the chetik of klam shekol nosim besul yis samechim v'shivas yomim and osim v'vlakta v'nosim nosim v'shukel ocha v'shota v'somem sameach.
Ah, the ocha v'shota v'sameach, right, is a suda, is simcha. But according to Rashi, it's just Isur Malacha. Ah, so it's interesting to note that there's a further debate, and this brings us into our next topic. So again, this has very much to do with what we've been discussing. I mean, what are we talking about here? You know, both in terms of it being a zivug thing, it being a equal to the bracha or parallel, the same mechayiv, different in quantity. One depends on the zug, the other depends on individuals. It depends on different individuals. It's an enticement factor. All the things that we've been discussing. What's included in this, and to what extent? But there are two other interesting issues that go into it. What? Say that again. The Iri has a day that even Isur Malacha is only one day. That also depends on bracha. So he has to explain that Shaktu is not Isur Malacha, but Shalo Yetze LeMalacha. Right? That's even more restricted. Very good. What else is discussed? The Meiri actually likes the Simcha idea, that the Simcha Suda. And you said, but we want you to stick around. But there's no Isur Malacha, whereas according to the Rambam and Rashi, and others, the Ikar thing is Isur Malacha, and Shal Lisa, even Lisa Velite, right? What else is discussed? Well, what about Shasimcha Bimono, and what about Asher Bara? So the Shiti Shana here, right, says Shasimcha Bimono, right? Shasimcha Bimono is a nish for Almon V'Almana. Look, see, we don't know what it is. We don't know what Shasimcha B'mono is for Almon V'Almana. The Pashtas. Right? The Rajba assumed... Well, he didn't really assume so much about Almon V'Almana. He assumed that you see from... Do you see from Shasimcha B'mono that you can have bracha even when there's no Isra Malacha? And you can yotzei la'avoda? The answer is, don't bother me with that question. Obviously, somebody bothered him with the question, right? But what's the story in Almon V'Almana? The Gemara doesn't say. We know Shasimcha B'mono, can outlast the Me'amishta even. That doesn't mean necessarily that in Almon V'Almana, maybe the shame Almon V'Almana is very restricted. The shame Chasen B'Kala of Almon V'Almana is very restricted. maybe even with regard to Simcha B'mona, or maybe Afushe Simcha B'alma is very limited. So the Shiti Shana, anybody have it? Alatar? No? I think I gave you that to look at in the Shita. He says Shasimcha B'mono. The tour says Shasimcha B'mono and Asher Bara. The Shulchan Aruch says only Shasimcha B'mono, not Asher Bara. Asher Bara goes with Bracha. Yeah. Yeah. Gimel Simcha means Shasimcha B'mono. Wow. I mean, that's also interesting that the word Simcha would signify, right? Shasimcha B'mono. Not obvious at all. For all we know, there's no Shasimcha B'mono, and certainly no Asher Bara. But the Torah says there's Asher Bara. So obviously, the, you know, what is the character? If this is more just, you know, inducement, that's, you know, maybe Suda, maybe Malacha. Once you start getting into Shasimcha B'mono and possibly Asher Bara, we're talking about literally Simcha. Right? That's not an inducement anymore at all. Even the kind that's, you know, part of the process. Right? Not at all. It's a reflection of, not part of the strategy of creating. Anyways, this brings us into the next topic, so we'll continue with this tomorrow. What time did I say? At 11. We'll do Asher Bara, and then we'll do something connected to Pesach. Okay?